pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning. Sam Roberts from the Coleman Daily coming up in about a half hour. And we'll do a sort of in-depth analysis of the trends in these elections and who I find to be one of the more accurate thus far this cycle who I've talked to. And we text back and forth a lot, and he's running polls constantly, and he seems to at least be giving a good faith effort here to find out exactly where these contests are. So we're not just flying blind heading into Tuesday. Those of you who really follow this stuff, and that's what we do on this program. But we'll talk that, and you agree or disagree, whatever you find the races to be. So that's coming up in about a half hour. Text line 251-343-0106. Let's see here. We'll start out with Paul. The whole ad was patronizing, referring to the Al Akbar ad. I didn't agree with it, but the Huck Huck Osh Shucks presentation made, it feels like it was firing up a group of people with IQs equivalent to Somalians. Well, I don't know. I mean, like I said, the way that campaign has been, it's as if it's what happens sometimes when you have these outside groups advising campaigns. And let me explain. Okay, the consulting class in Alabama maybe isn't as top-notch as it could be. And we have a very crowded election. A lot of people are getting work right now. Everybody was running for something at some point. And you start looking around, well, I need someone to kind of coordinate, run, do all the things, check all the boxes for my campaign, you know, make sure we have a fundraising team and make sure that the ads are placed and purchased, placed, produced. Make sure that we got scheduling where we think we need to be. It's an enormous lift to run a statewide campaign in Alabama. You go speak at certain groups. You meet with certain people. You're calling certain people, asking them to contribute to your campaign. There's a lot going on there. And it takes a team of people to kind of work through all that, especially at a race for attorney general, lieutenant governor, U.S. Senate governor, you get it, Congress, ag commissioner even. State, Senate, State House. But my sense of it was they looked at Alabama. So they hire a consulting group. They looked at Alabama. They looked at the data before them. These are the absolutes. This is what the election totals told us. Maybe there was some exit polling. Maybe when they went and they did focus groups. What do you care about? And they throw out a bunch of red meat, a bunch of push button issues. And for whatever reason, radical Islam came up to the top of the list. What are the biggest threats to your public safety? Some probably said illegal immigration. Some said just crime in general. And some said, well, you know, at the time when they're doing the campaign, radical Islam, and Mitchell walked through it. He said there had been these terror incidents throughout the country. And maybe it was fresh on people's minds. And they chose to go in that direction because they thought it could really resonate. But what the problem is, I think the people who they are surveying aren't necessarily the likely voter. They're not your high propensity, most likely voter. That the problem is, there's so many other variables. It's not your 2024 likely voter. It's not even your 2022 likely voter. You don't have a good model because every election, especially in Alabama, is unique. And why do I say that? Yeah, sure. No, duh. Every election is unique, but they're low turnout events. That people have specific reasons for showing up to vote. That they come to vote for a very, very specific reason. And it varies locality to locality. And so the art of this is like trying to pin that down, trying to nail that down, trying to understand that these guys up here, they may have election fatigue. For example, like Walker County, Alabama, Jasper. Greg Reed resigns to go serve at the Department of Labor, which later became Department of Workforce Development. He's the secretary. They have a special election to fill that Senate seat. The guy who wins, Matt Woods, wins. He's a House member. He has to vacate his House seat to assume the Senate role. So that after doing a primary, and maybe a runoff, a general election, they had to have a whole new slate of elections, a whole new slate of candidates running for that House seat. Primary, maybe runoff, election. And then by the time that's over, we're doing another election. It's the whole 2026 cycle. And then that's over, the primary at least. Now it's runoff. I mean, at some point people are like, I don't have any more. I'm tapped out. And turnout may wane there. Turnout may be lower there. And you have to figure out a way to account for that. That's just a very anecdotal example where you may have lower turnout because people just have election fatigue because they went from municipal elections and they went through two special elections and then the primary and now a runoff. And now, there's talk about now they won't be impacted by this, but there's talk of these congressional elections. I mean, just election. And at some point, people just hit their capacity, and they're like, I'm done. But that's not true in every other part of the state. It varies. So you got to look at this from that aspect of it and say, okay, I'm polling really well here, but they may have a depressed turnout because they're just tired of elections. However, in one place, another example here, Etowah County, a few years ago, they had a very controversial poultry finishing plant that the people did not want in Rainbow City in Etowah County. They were fired. They did not want that. Some of the local officials did. They said, we want this, and we're going to force it down your throat. We think this is good for the economy. You don't know what's good for you. And there was just this grassroots, and there were signs up, and people were very... how about this? Like the solar farm is another great example here. That may get people more engaged, more willing to vote. And it swings elections, depending on where you are on that issue. These are like real things that you got to like figure out if you're trying to determine, well, where's the vote going to be? Am I over-polling this area because they may not turn out because they've been doing election nonstop for the last 2 years? Am I spending too much time there? Or the opposite? There's an issue here that's really impacting the community. They want to take farmland and turn it into a solar farm, and I don't want that here. I want to do something about it. Well, then you have the opportunity there to get more votes. And these sort of things like matter. But they all vary from locality to locality to locality. And you have to be like really savvy about that. You have to be aware of what's going on, not just generally speaking on Fox News, but in every little nook and cranny of Alabama. That's just, it's a psychological game. You've got to know the point of view of the voter And like I said, the point of view of the voter, it's not just because they live in the Shoals or different from the Wiregrass. Yes, that is true. But what are the conditions on the ground that get people more engaged and involved in politics and therefore more likely to vote in your election? The people here are red hot, fired up Democrat voters right now, very fired up. Why? Because of the Supreme Court decision on Louisiana. Very fired up, very engaged, feel like they're having something taken away from them by a federal court, by the Supreme Court. It's not right. We're gonna show up to vote. They showed up to vote in what I think was a meaningless Democrat primary, but they showed up in big numbers. Those things matter. And so when you're pulling it, it's very complicated. But what these outside groups do, what these groups do that aren't really in Alabama, do you think the pollster who's doing this in Washington, D.C. is even remotely aware that we're having a fight over a solar farm in North Baldwin County? Do you think that they're even aware that the people of Alabama are really invested in the congressional maps in this state, at least on the Democrat side? Are they aware that the city of Huntsville and Madison County are seeing a serious demographic change with a lot of federal employees? And it's those kinds of things when you're putting the recipe together to determine where an election is that you've got to figure out. And that's very difficult. And that makes Alabama very difficult to poll. It makes any state difficult to poll because they have all these circumstances in a lot of places. But some states are easier than others. I mean, Delaware is probably very easy to poll. But Alabama, for that reason, we're just not a lot of news coverage. And maybe you're just not that tuned into it. It takes somebody who's aware of all this stuff to really put together the right kind of modeling to get a real clear idea of who's going to vote and who isn't going to vote. And once you can answer that question, once you can figure out what a likely voter is, what a for sure high propensity voter is, and you can't just base it on historic records, those help. But there's other things going on in the news, then you could make a more accurate assessment. And I think that's where a lot of things, that's what's missing from a lot of the public polling we're seeing right now. 251-343-0106. Sorry for that long-winded explanation there. Barry is grandiose and sensationalist, has embellished his experience to manipulate. Now, me personally, I believe you participate in any branch of the military, complete your obligation, you should be a veteran. That's not how it works. And Barry knows, and that got caught. Therefore, that's viewed as untrustworthy. Monty, I don't know that that's exactly accurate. I mean, the technical definition of a veteran, you're just applying your own criteria to veteran status here. But as he said, he went through basic training. That's active duty. He checks that box. He's always said that. And I don't know why they didn't lean more on that and why they kind of played fast and loose with the timeline. You're right, Monty, to be skeptical of the timing and but the definition of veteran, I think he meets. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Hammered, sitting right here at the floor of Bama. At the floor of Bama.
I fly a starship across the universe divide. And when I reach the other side, I'll find a place to rest my spirit if I can. Perhaps I may become a highwayman again.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. 24 minutes after the hour on this Thursday morning. Programming note coming up tomorrow on the show. We'll kick it off with what we do on Fridays. Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, Capital Journal. Also on the program, Catherine Robertson. She is also running for Attorney General. You heard from her opponent here today, Jay Mitchell. But we'll hear from Catherine tomorrow. And then our returning champion, as we do on Fridays, State Senator Chris Elliott. Let's keep rolling through my text here. Squirrel Vereen. Geez, I'm sick of people crying about elections and being tired and confused. I'm tired of sports. These idiots can keep track of sports stats. They can follow politics. Well, they can if they want to. They just don't want to. It's not a – politics is not a sports can be very displeasing too. Suffering through Auburn the last few years. Now we're about to be inundated with the World Cup, and I got to say this about this soccer craze. Look, you like soccer if you want to. Don't make me have to like it. Don't make me have to pretend this is like something I should care about. I don't. It's not interesting to me. America's just not good at it. I'm not going to cheer for like a foreign country. Man, those Brazilians really look great today. I just don't care. The soccer virtue signaling has got to stop. Like it if you want to, but don't get mad if I'm like this is just not where the public is. Yes, I get it. Oh, well, you obviously didn't see the great time. Lionel Messi scored a goal at Jordan-Hare Stadium, Jeff. I don't care. I'm sure if we had the Savannah Bananas at Auburn, they would fill that up too, and then somebody would hit a home run, and I would be told that I need to embrace that as well. I don't have to. I just stop. Anyway, back to what your subject was here, Squirrel Vereen. You get told that every election is the most important election of your lifetime, and it wears thin after a while. You just want to do your part, and you take it seriously, and you study up on it, and then you're told, well, that was the most important election, but this was more important. And then you go out and vote, and the person you vote for doesn't really live up to their expectations. They fail to deliver on their promises, which happens all the time in politics. I get it. Leo, boot camp is only 10 weeks, not 100 days of active duty. That is required to be a veteran. Yeah, but I think that the 180 days part was settled with just the veteran, the National Guard service. Fish Sniper, can you text the name of that Johnny Cash clip you just played? Well, I'll send it to you, but it's from the Highwayman, on the Highwaymen. It was like the super group when they first decided that was going to be a thing, and it really sold. Unnamed texter, I would pay to see Savannah Bananas play Auburn. They did. Savannah Bananas, I guess back in what during football season, played an exhibition game. They allow the college baseball teams, they do fall training, and they allow them to play one exhibition game, and Auburn had the Savannah Bananas play at Plainswood Park. That was a hard ticket to get. Like, I said that I'm even anti-Savannah Bananas. If there's real baseball on in our house, where we don't watch it, but my kid, my oldest, loves it. He loves the party animals and all the teams in Banana Ball. It's just selling out your football stadium to see a bunch of grown men dance and play baseball. There's something to it that's, I don't know about that. But I get it. But they did play at Auburn recently, just did a very small park. Scrovering adds, so people are fatigued because they vote and get disappointed. That's like a lot of diehard sports team fans. Well, not everybody who is down on the voting is a sports fan either, so... 251-343-0106. Keep them coming, guys. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
I keep on rolling with the flow. Folks said that I... He asked me how about it. I told him.
told him on credit, Daddy just smiled. I'll never forget it. Daddy never was the Cadillac kind. He said some things just glitter and shine.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning. 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with the show. I missed a couple scrolling texts here. Dadgummit, I waited all morning for April Marie Fogle only for service to drop. What's with the spotty service in your Faro? Don't you have like terrestrial radio? The 106.5 on your FM dial would have saw that in a heartbeat. And then he writes, anyone bothered by Jay Mitchell's ad can only be a radical terrorist sympathizer. Mitchell clearly said radical or racial Islam. He did? You mean radical Islam. All right. Enough of that. Joining us now on the line, he is from the Coleman Daily, but he's a very astute in kind of the trends of what's going on in these elections. My friend Sam Roberts joins us on the line. Sam, how are you?
Doing good.
Thanks for making time. I always appreciate it. Let's start out kind of here with this. Do you have any sense what turnout's going to be Tuesday? Because, I mean, we expected a low turnout last month, but now Democrats kind of came in big and kind of kept the numbers. But, I mean, you're not going to have that in this runoff. What are we looking at here?
I mean, I'm expecting a low turnout for sure. I mean, obviously, we've got a few counties across the state that have some local runoff elections like sheriff, revenue commission, and some other races. So I've kind of been trying to keep up with the counties that have issues like that happening and expecting a little bit bigger turnout in some of those areas. And obviously, in the areas where we have some of the statewide candidates from, such as Barry Moore from the Wiregrass area, Jared Hudson from Birmingham, John Wall, North Alabama, Wes Allen from Pike County, kind of across the board, you know, and they're the candidates' home areas, we can expect a little bit bigger turnout and those based on this than the rest of the state trend. But I mean, I definitely would expect a low turnout and a older electorate primarily voting in the Tuesday runoff election.
The older electorate is really that favors certain candidates, doesn't it?
Definitely. We've definitely seen a big trend of the 65 and up crowd towards certain candidates in each race.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're just kind of more locked in. And those, that's an interesting voter base because they get locked in for certain reasons and you're not, you know, trying to sway them. It's a lost cause. You got to really, if you're trying to play catch up, you got to put your efforts elsewhere.
Definitely. It's I mean, I would expect at least around 50% plus of the vote on near the Tuesday election to be of people that 65 and older. So that definitely is going to, for example, if you're Barry Moore, that's a really good sign for you because that is the group of people that he performs best among.
Well, let's talk about Barry Moore, Jared Hudson. That's the top of the ticket for all intents and purposes of this discussion. I know. You know, U.S. Senate race is no small thing. And it was kind of overshadowed by some other things going on. But walk us through, the veteran question dust up. How much did that really move numbers thus far?
I think it gave Hudson a little bit of momentum. Whether it's enough, I'm not sure. I do think it affected polling by a couple points. But, you know, in this race and for people that's been following, polling has been all over the place in the Senate race. And a lot of that is to do with how dominant Jared Hudson is among younger voters and how dominant Barry Moore is among older voters. So any kind of different polling method that has been ran on this race seems to have wildly different results. But all three agree on a few things, and that's that Barry Moore performs best among the older electorate at this time. He obviously is as dominant in the Wiregrass area, Mobile, and anywhere in South Alabama, while Hudson is super strong among young people and in Central Alabama, the Birmingham area. all polling agrees on those things. It's just going to be a matter of who turns out to vote. Now, the veteran story has definitely affected this race a little bit. I don't know if it's enough to push Hudson over the finish line. I think that if the election was held today, you would see Barry Moore around 51 to 52%. I think you could see him as high as 54%. If you're Jared Hudson, I don't think there's any scenario where you can get to 54 or 55, but I do think there are real scenarios where Jared Hudson could get to 51. It's a really close election. I think it definitely leans towards Barry Moore at this time, specifically because of his voter base. But if Jared Hudson can drive up the turnout in the Birmingham area and among younger people, then he does have a shot at winning this election.
Well, see, that's interesting, and we're breaking it down geographically here, that the last few cycles, I mean, the Wiregrass, there's not a ton of voters relative to the entirety of the state. They've been out to vote. They've come out to vote, and part of that 22 was Katie Britt on the ballot, I think had a lot to do with it. But Barry Moore, obviously, in 24, running against Jerry Carl. And I think he's going to have that same kind of that's sort of like the known quantity in this election, where Jared's kind of dealing with the unknown, and he needs good numbers there. It's Birmingham, and that one is the part of this equation that's very hard to predict. How will the Birmingham DMA, how will those counties surrounding Birmingham and Jefferson County, Shelby, St. Clair, I think Blount, Tuscaloosa, even to some degree, turn out and show up to vote?
Yeah, it's definitely going to be very interesting. I mean, we know Jared Hudson is going to be very strong in the Birmingham DMA. The question isn't whether he's very strong or not. It's whether he can get enough people to turn out to overpower the surge that Barry Moore is going to have in South Alabama. He needs to be focused on getting voters to the polls in Jefferson County, Coleman County, Walker County, St. Clair, all the counties surrounding Jefferson County in the Birmingham DMA. He has to have a really large turnout there. And not only that, he needs to find a way to get young people to the polls, because even in the Birmingham DMA, Barry Moore has a lot of support among people that's 65 and older.
And then where I was surprised on May 19, just Barry Moore's strength north. He did exceptionally well at the Shoals, and that's, if you just kind of look at the raw totals, but also had a pretty good night. I think Madison Limestone among Republicans.
Yes, if you're Barry Moore, I would have certainly, for Barry Moore, been very pleased with the Huntsville DMA results that he had on May 19th. I think that this entire runoff could come down. If we're looking at a 1 or 2 point margin in this election, if it's 51-49 Barry Moore today, this whole thing could come down to the Huntsville market. Is he able to produce the same kind of numbers next Tuesday in the Shoals and in Madison County and Morgan County, all throughout North Alabama, as what he saw last month? That's going to be a deciding factor in this election. And you're right, the Shoals, he was very strong. He was very strong in Madison County. He has to, if you're Barry Moore, when the results start coming in on Tuesday, if we see the same sort of strength in those counties, I think it's over for Jared Hudson. If you're Hudson, you have to find a way to win those areas, or you can't win this election because of the strength Barry Moore is going to have among older people and in South Alabama.
Well, what do you make of this? Now, the last couple of days, Jared Hudson's, he's been down to the Wiregrass yesterday. He's in Fairhope this afternoon, but he's spending time down here. It seems like if I were him, I would be more focused either on running up the score in Birmingham or just hammering North Alabama.
If I was advising Jared Hudson today, I would tell him, I mean, there's nothing you can do in South Alabama in the Wiregrass to change the fact that Barry Moore is going to absolutely dominate there. He couldn't have bought a house and lived there the past month and changed that. Barry Moore is going to absolutely dominate South Alabama. This election is going to come down to the Huntsville and Birmingham DMAs. In Birmingham, you have to get your vote out. You have to get people to the polls. But Huntsville is the battleground. If I was Jared Hudson, I would be spending all of my time in the Huntsville area, the Huntsville, the Shoals areas where I would be focusing 100% of my time between now and next Tuesday.
Let's move down ballot. Lieutenant Governor Wall outperforming on May 19th. It is probably a little closer. I mean, it was close, but the fact that John Wall did what he did on primary day. Is there a trend there that's moving to his direction? Where is that race at, you think?
In the lieutenant governor's race, we're seeing a very close election. I think all signs point to John Wall, a little bit of the same way you see things pointing towards Barry Moore. He performs best among the people who are likely to vote this Tuesday, and that is the people that's 65 and older. That is a trend that heavily favors John Wall. Another thing that John has that the Barry Moore campaign also has that no other candidate in the race can say is they have Trump pushing them. Now, that's only going to be a certain percent of the vote, but you know, regardless, it is something that he has that the other candidate doesn't, and I think that made a massive impact. The Trump tweet that came out the Monday before the election on May 19th, I think that had a big impact on what we saw on Tuesday. I would expect something along those lines to happen coming up on before the June 16th runoff election.
Well, he tells us that he has a teletown hall this afternoon with Donald Trump, and it's not just like a robocall, but it's a real thing where you're going to get a call and you're going to hear from them, I guess, live.
Yeah, and that's definitely on the Barry Moore campaign. We saw that happen. The town hall held with President Trump the Monday before the election. It proved to be effective. We saw, compared to what I had in my polling, Barry Moore overperformed a lot of the expectations, as did John Wall. I would sort of expect the same scenario as a very possible outcome coming this Tuesday.
Joined by Sam Roberts from the Coleman Daily here on the program. The AG race, is there any path for Jay Mitchell right now?
I don't know with Jay Mitchell if there's any path outside of Jesus coming to Montgomery and standing on the state capitol steps and endorsing them himself. I don't think if you're Jay Mitchell, there's anything you can do between now and Tuesday to even get within 10 points of Catherine Robertson, much less flipping this whole race.
That's tough. I mean, but he kind of knew this, though, coming out of May 19th.
Yeah, it's definitely, well, you know, and on the 19th, he did overperform some of the projections that we had seen, but it's just, even with endorsement of Pamela Casey, the majority of the Pam Casey voters have went to Catherine Robertson, along with, the mass difference in fundraising in this runoff election. Catherine has had such an advantage on TV all throughout Alabama, and you can see it in the polls. I would expect this to be a 60-40 race.
You see much going on at commission? I mean, that's some places got that as a coin flip, but where are you on it?
It's definitely could go either way. We've seen a lot of growth from the Christina McGinnis campaign over the past few days with her TV. I would expect to see some continued signs of that growth. And I would give, at this point, I would lean towards McGinnis winning the race coming next Tuesday, but it definitely is a coin flip that could go either way.
The Ziegler race, the Public Service Commission race, he's in pretty good shape there, you think?
Well, a week ago, I thought he had the race won, but with the Chris Speaker attacks currently running against Jim Ziegler, the statewide tax, the TV commercials, the anti-Ziegler movement happening right now on TV screens across Alabama, they have definitely cut into the advantage that Jim Ziegler had. He's still in first place, but it is trending fast away from him. I don't know if he's going to hold on through next Tuesday. It's not going to be a scenario like the Secretary of State's race a few years back where Wes Allen just dominated in the runoff election, but there is a chance Jim Ziegler could lose this race. It is trending away from him quickly. He has to stop the bleeding between now and Tuesday, or Chris Speaker will win re-election.
Is it just a matter of not having money to really combat that?
I think that's a lot of what we're seeing. He's getting attacked constantly on TV, and he just doesn't have the funds to he doesn't have any funds to respond to it. So I think you're seeing that with voters across Alabama. It's similar to the trend we saw last time in the Secretary of State's race, but in that scenario, a lot more money being spent in that one, and that ended up being a little more lopsided. I don't expect to see any lopsided result against Ziegler on Tuesday, but I do think there is a scenario where he could lose this election.
Any other races now? The question I got asked this, and then other than what's going on in this state house seat with Francis Holt Jones and Joe Freeman, you see the other runoffs that are, you know, and you mentioned some sheriff's races and maybe some county commission races, but what else is out there down ballot that may impact the top of the ballot?
Outside of the Francis Hope Jones runoff, I haven't really been diving into much polling on a lot of the other runoffs happening right now throughout Alabama. But there's definitely several on the ballot that are going to influence in some way the statewide results because of increased turnout in those areas. But, I mean, you definitely have an interesting runoff in South Alabama between Joe Freeman and Francis Hope Jones.
Because, you know, something that probably really hurt Barry Moore was not having a Rep Marcus Jerry Carl runoff in AL1 would have driven up voting in South Alabama, and that would have been a shot in the arm for Barry Moore probably.
Yeah, definitely. That definitely affects the race to some degree. It's certainly going to hurt turnout some down there. I mean, it's still expect a good turnout from the Wiregrass and South Alabama area, but that definitely would have been a plus to the Barry Moore campaign having a congressional runoff happening.
Sam, folks want to find you online. They want to check out your work here. How can they do so?
They can do so. Our primary platform is on Facebook. You can find us at Coleman Daily.
All right. Hey, Sam, we appreciate it. We'll talk again.
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us. What's left of this Thursday morning? Mike Ray, it's a lot of us listen to the app on instead of the truck radio while we're working like I do. It definitely helps me not holler at my employees as much. I'll just say it as a backup option here when the cell service is at least much to be desired as it can in some parts of Fairhope. Yeah, you just flip it on over to that FM dial and get it rocking and rolling there. Coming up tomorrow on the program, Todd Stacy from Alabama Daily News and Capital Journal. We'll get to what he thinks of what's going on in the election cycle and some other things going on nationally that we could talk about. But Todd will join us also. Catherine Robertson, she's running for Attorney General. We heard from her opponent today, Jay Mitchell. We'll get. I mean, it'll be a lot like what we heard today from her. I suppose at least the same line of questioning. We'll have her on, and then the dark money question and why does it matter? Why are we does it matter? Why should people care? Also on the program, your returning champion, my returning champion, Chris Elliott, State Senator Chris Elliott. I guess I should say the show's returning champion when I talk about us in a collective sense. But he'll join us, so make sure you tune in for that. Coming up here shortly, he'll be live. Sean Sullivan on Midday Mobile, so make sure that you stay tuned for that. Squirrel Vereen, I'm working with an earbud in my ear hole listening to the app, not sitting in a house or office with a radio. I mean, I do that sometimes. I mean, I get it. I understand. But when you're driving, I was just throwing this out there. Don't shoot the messenger. But the radio works. One would assume the dying art of terrestrial radio, I suppose. But one thing that's unique about FM Talk 106.5, I mean, it's not the same cookie cutter Morgan Wallen or Taylor Swift or whatever is on the radio these days. It's unique in that sense. It's always a backup option if the app's not connecting because the internet service is spotty. But I wanted to make sure you were aware that we're still a radio station, anyway. Let's see here. I don't really have any other text that I'm going to read on air. Mommy Issues, still very angry, but banned from the program. So there's that. But tomorrow, Attorney General's race, but we'll also maybe have more veteran stuff, and then we'll see what happens with this situation, this Iran situation that it sounds like we're heading back into a more of a war footing than where, you know, it doesn't sound like there is necessarily a peace deal on the horizon. What is that going to mean to the elections? That's the kind of stuff that, like, I know we're not talking X's and O's, boots on the ground stuff, but how does this impact an election where the gas prices don't seem to be coming down? I think they got to try to get a ceiling on it, keep oil from $100 a barrel. But I think for Republicans to have an easier go at it, we got to get back down in that $80 range and see that kind of impact the price of the pump at some point. Enough of that. I got to get out of here. I will try my best to do better tomorrow. Sorry, Phyllis, once again, I forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.